B-Pod Studios.
We constantly are bombarded by experts and authors and people who have new books out wanting to get an interview to promote their book. This came across our desk just 3 days ago. I flipped. With us on the phone right now, and it's a pleasure to welcome him, the author of The Self-Aware Parent, Resolving Conflict and Building a Better Bond with Your Child, is child psychologist Dr. Murray Kleiner. Dr. Kleiner, welcome to the show.
Well, hello there to sunny Florida. Greetings from sunny Los Angeles.
And it's a pleasure to have you on, Dr. Kleiner. You are, in fact, a child psychologist, child psychotherapist, and your new book, The Self-Aware Parent. Tell us about this.
Well, it really is a must-read for any parent, and it covers a lot of ground, including a lot of things and techniques that I have developed, you know, as a world-renowned innovator in the field of family and child psychotherapy.
Yes.
And it basically comes down to understanding what your child needs and what motivates them.
I see.
And one of the things we cover in depth in the book is a technique I call flank and spank.
Flank and spank.
And it's cousin, flank, and prank.
Explain that, Dr. Kleiner. We're talking to a child psychologist, Dr. Murray Kleiner, who has his new book out.
I'd be happy to explain that. Can we get the phone number and the website out there? Vanity Public Relations.
Yeah, Vanity Public Relations. And the
so web. If you hear any clicks or anything, it's because she's listening in.
And that's Dr. Kleiner at Vanity. What is it? Vanity what?
Vanity PR.
VanityPR.com. Okay. All right. So we got that out. Dr. Kleiner, how is summertime for children and parents different from, like, say, when school is in session?
Well, in my experience...
Your experience.
I'm a world-renowned innovator.
That's what it says here.
And that innovation has come from working with a lot of troubled kids in juvenile facilities. Mm-hmm. And how do they get there? Because they think they're tougher than they are. And that's because parents don't use the tools at their disposal. And that's why I come back to what I was originally talking about before. Flank and spank.
Yes.
And its cousin, flank and prank.
And these are tested. You have tested these with some of your own studies and your own patients, and you found that this philosophy works.
Not only does it work, it can be highly entertaining for a motivated parent. The flank and spank is self-explanatory because you don't want to injure yourself when you're striking the child.
Correct.
And with a message that that sends, it can even be done by a woman up to a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to exploit the fact that you are physically dominant. You're larger than that child, and even if they don't like what you're saying or what you're telling them to do, there's not a damn thing they can do about
due
to your physical size.
Whoa, this is a little unorthodox, Dr. Kleiner.
No, it's not. It's not. It's back to the future, if you will. You know, spare the rod, spoil the child, and establish physical dominance, and then when we go to what I like to call flank and prank.
Yes.
you should be able to outwit a six-year-old.
Okay. Yeah.
You can tell them things that are untrue, and they'll buy it hook, line, and sinker. You can use ghosts and goblins and whatever, and it's like putting up an invisible fence around their bedroom. For instance, if you leave this room, Jermichael, the boogeyman will get you. If Jermichael, were to venture out of that room, you can even do it these days with the technology. You can even set it up for some sort of remote audio situation. But if you choose to do it yourself and on the cheap, you can simply wait because you know he's going to poke his head out to see, and then you make a frightening noise or throw something at him.
Yeah, it's even better. Doctor, is this true and tested child psychology, or is this the way you, treated your now stripper heroin addict daughter? Is that how it is? You still hold up in a trailer in Tampa, Dr. Kleiner, disbarred Dr. Murray Kleiner, a man who has not had a practice in at least 15 years and has been kicked out of every psychological organization from Laguna Beach, California to the East Coast of the United States. That Dr. Kleiner? Is this tried, true, and tested?
This is an ambush.
This is
just shock jock. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Candace.
Dr. Kleiner?
Who is very upset about this, and she'll be taking your call letters and contacting your program.
You should know our call letters, Dr. Kleiner. You should.
I don't know who you are.
Uh-huh.
And I don't appreciate being spoken to in this tone of voice.
Do you remember falling asleep on your sofa, spilling wine all over yourself?
To Candace, I can handle this.
The money that you received from us to come on the air when you couldn't get a job anywhere else.
The smart people listening right now realize that this is a desperate
caring and sharing with Dr. Murray Kleiner.
Put the focus on himself. I would invite the good people, regardless of the nasty turn this is taking.
You haven't sent me a check, Stanton Haney.
That number and learn how to deal with your children.
If you want me on your show, you better call Collect because I can't afford to pay the phone bill anymore.
Book is The Self-Aware Parent.
And if anybody buys that
and
book,
building a better bond with your child,
you,
written by me, Dr. Murray Kleiner, world-renowned innovator
psychotherapy. You had that office in Laguna Beach until they shut you down. You had your license pulled, and we tried for 15 years to keep you with some kind of income, and all you cared about was how bad your life is going, your long-lost daughter who left you. She went and tried to commit suicide I don't know how many times. You found her as a stripper. You yourself, if I'm not mistaken, became a heroin addict yourself.
You must have been reading some of the trade publications.
No.
Because you have a reality show coming up about how I rescued my daughter from a cesspool.
Uh-huh.
And I went so far as to go undercover and pretend to you.
Yeah, you're right, pretend.
To ingratiate myself.
Look, you can go around the country, Dr. Kleiner, hawking this line of bull.
And I did.
But
I
know.
You're going to see this on the reality show. We don't know. We're searching for a partner right now.
I will use everything in my power to shut it down.
I use tough love.
You're a fraud.
Inadvertently, in the midst of my tough love, pulled over with heroin in the car.
Yeah, of course
and what
you
I did
were.
Is I rolled over on my daughter and claimed that she was the dealer.
Uh-huh.
So that she would get the help she needed in prison. That would fall under flank and prank, right, Candace?
Flank and prank. Yeah, that's just great. Why aren't you?
I'll just have a little more coconut water. I can deal with this schmuck.
Schmuck? I know you.
You are. You're a schmuck.
I know you.
I don't know who you are.
You most certainly do, and
I have no idea who you are.
And I know that whatever you print and write is a complete fraud because you're a fraud. You're an alcoholic. You're a drug addict.
You don't shut your mouth.
You're a drug addict. The only thing you care about is money, and
I know that firsthand. I do not know this man.
You, dude. What's your PR person's name?
Candace.
Hey, Candace, if you're listening right now, Candace.
Oh, she's listening. She's recording this whole thing.
Oh, I can give her recordings, too. I can give her recordings.
I don't know what recordings you did. There's no recordings to give her. None of them exist.
Of a Dr. Murray Kleiner burning himself in his recliner with soup because he couldn't bother to get out of the house that day.
And it's a couple of years ago I had problems with an imposter.
I recognize your voice. You fraud!
Oh, honest to God, do you think I would be on a show with a schmuck like
yeah.
this?
Yeah! Oh, it was called Caring and Sharing with Dr. Murray Kleiner. Probably came on around 1998.
And then
you disappeared, around 2008.
Sir, obviously, you've been burned by an imposter.
I
would like to offer you complimentary psychotherapy so that you can work through your issues.
You need your own psychotherapy, you fraud.
No, you do.
You do.
No, you do.
You do.
You do.
You're a fraud. Candace, he's a fraud.
You do.
Where is the little girl I can't?
Ah, jeez, the dingbat on the roof.
Sunset, sunrise,
stifle.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Port Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Paradise. Listen to us once, and you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it all afternoon. We'll be right back.
couldn't be more proud to work for the Beasley Media Group. And we'd like to thank them for the indoor plumbing and the microphones. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody.
Everything's great.
That's good. Always like to hear everything's great. Stan and Haney.
See, if you can live vicariously through others, life is a lot easier.
Well, we've done that for a lot of years. We've known people that have done it for a lot of years.
Yeah, but I never have.
Well.
Have I?
Well, you're not that bad at it. It happens from time to time.
Well, I guess we've got to deal with the elephant in the room.
What elephant in the room? What? 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 What?
Shortly after we went off the air Friday.
Yeah?
And before the president knew, we knew. Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah.
And I don't want to dwell on that.
Thank you.
But I do want to point out that during all of the talk, because it was unavoidable for most of the weekend, you couldn't watch anything else because it was all about this lady.
That's why I shut it off and went to the casino.
Well, I can't wait to hear about that. The only reason I bring it up is they're talking about her remarkable tenure and how much good she did and how when she was nominated, how things were different. And I'm like, yeah, when was she nominated? Oh, 1993.
Yeah.
That's the year I got here.
Yeah.
She does 27 years. She's a saint.
Yeah. You do 27 years, and you're dirt. You're dirt.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because
there's the jerk Haney.
Even though she was on the wrong side of the court, everybody has to say nice things about what a brilliant jurist.
They're appointed for life. Some change, some shift left, some shift right, but they're there for life. So you got to say good things. You don't get to the Supreme Court being a bum.
And I don't recall this, Stan. Tell me, correct me if I'm wrong. But in the past, angry mobs didn't directly go to senators' homes and threaten them.
No. That's different. Where actual leaders go and tell you it's time to riot. Please. Let's let the judicial process work its way out. We always have for 250 years, however long it's been, something like that, somewhere along those lines. I gotta shut it up. I'm not gonna
Stan,
watch it.
As long as you can say that with a straight face, I'm with you.
Yeah. Let the process.
There was a lot of straight faces on TV over the weekend.
That's why I shut it off. The only thing I watched on TV this weekend, and I'll tell you, this is the truth. The only thing, I heard the news, watched a little bit of it, and said, okay, I got all I need to know. And then I watched a little bit of football, and then I watched Before the 90 Days. That was the only stuff.
Before the 90 Days?
Yeah.
90, that
show.
That fiancé show.
Yeah. Yeah,
how was that episode?
It was not good for some and good for others.
But did you enjoy it?
There's this girl who, she's from Tampa. Family runs like apartments up in Tampa. News stories have called him a slumlord. I don't know who he is, but
that sounds lucrative.
He, his daughter married a guy from Moldova.
That's okay.
And so he took her and her family over to Moldova to have an official Moldovan wedding with the dancers and the singers and the whole deal. So they're filming over there. But it's her brother who, if you look at him, he's gotten DUIs in the past and stuff. It looks like a lughead ready to start fights. So he grabs the microphone where he's supposed to toast, toast the family.
And no.
This is in Moldova.
No.
And he goes, and he's drunk.
Well, I just want to let you know, don't you think you come to the United States to live off my father, you punk? Don't you think you want to go right now? You want to fight right now? Let's go.
This is in Moldova?
This is in Moldova.
Oh, boy.
And the father and the family has to have
doesn't
to
he have to be
up.
Murdered now?
Pretty close. So that's all I watched. And that was
so is that to be continued?
Next week, I think it's a sit-down where everybody in the cast...
talks about their feelings?
Speaks out.
Oh, okay.
That's it. And I watched a little bit of football. Watched the Dolphins. watched Tampa Bay. And watched a little bit of Sunday night.
Dolphins didn't bother me.
Yeah. Another loss. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, they're two in the hole now.
Yes.
Both of them division games,
yes.
So it's more like four games.
Yes. Oh, that's what I did. Yeah.
So, you know, I think one more draft, and then we'll be looking at a 500 team.
All right, people are starting to text me now on the 90-day and about Andre and Libby's family.
He was going to fight the nation of Moldova.
Pretty close. Let's take care of this before we take the break. Aaron Walker and Naples Nissan. We love these guys down there.
Now, and, my only question, as soon as you bring up Aaron Walker,
yeah.
What's he up to now?
Well, let me tell you, because...
And is it safe?
Customers have come to him down at Naples Nissan regarding their trade-in offer and thinking that it's too good to be true.
We hear it all the time.
And we're here to tell you that it's not too good to be true. It's the God's honest truth. Head down to Naples Nissan. If your trade...
Yeah, all those people that thought it was too good to be true, they're all driving new Nissans.
Yep. If your trade-in is less than eight years old, that starts at like 2012, and less than 80,000 miles on it, come get the full MSRP for that car and drive home a brand new Nissan today. It's
can you
simple.
Imagine if that same guarantee replied to marriage and relationships?
At 12 years,
80,000 miles.
Trade it in.
I want a new one.
Yep, same price.
Yep.
Again, it's at Naples Nissan. Believe them, it's true. Full details at NaplesNissan.com. Offer on select models with approved credit and cannot be combined.
Okay, Mr. Laurier, just go down there and get a car.
That's right.
Some see the glass as half empty. Others see it as half full. We simply see rum. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, Monday afternoon. The Stan and Haney Show. We're going to have the audio grab bag here for you in just a second. And coming up on the show today, well, we're going to give you a chance to win. New game on the show, and again, this will be a beta version. Stans, don't forget the lyrics.
What?
I'm going to play you a clip of a song. A word from the lyrics has been removed. Your job is to tell us what word is removed, and you're going to win. It's like that Wayne Brady show that used to be on, where he'd bring up the contestants and they'd play part of a song and have a little gap in there. What word goes in there?
Maggots.
No, incorrect. Good guess, but incorrect.
What were you thinking of?
Then we'll have... you're going to have to see what was in the lyrics. These are well-known songs.
Because I just guessed you'd use that lyric.
But that's not it.
And you know what song I'm talking
about.
Yes,
I am. Shattered.
Cherubi?
Shadoobie. We'll have the local...
Is it Cherubi or Shadoobie?
Shadoobie. Shadoobie. Cherubi. I don't know.
Bite the big apple.
Don't mind the maggots.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Shattered.
Shattered.
What a mess.
My brains are splattered.
All over.
Manhattan.
So that's how you play it.
Yes. Yes. We're going to have the Wayback Machine.
Flatter.
And in about a half hour, I'm going to blow your mind. A song done by a late friend of ours, which was a major hit, but the single that charted, totally different than the song you know. And I said, "I here's what got me. I was yesterday, I was listening to Casey Kasem's American Top 40. They rebroadcast it on a satellite station.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and coming in at number 28, the latest from, and then the song starts to play. I'm in line over at Starbucks getting a coffee with my wife, and the song comes on, and I'm like, that's not the song. I mean, it's the song, but it's not the way I know it.
The lyrics, but not...
The orchestration and the lyrics are different. And I'm like...
But it's the same song.
But it's the same song. And I'm like...
So they're doing it wrong.
That's what I said until I looked it up. And the song that we know for years and years was not the single hit. The artist who we knew actually was told by the record company, we're releasing this song as a single. Go re-record it. And it's going to blow your mind. And I said, this is a joke. I've never heard this version before. But it was the actual version that was released as a single and became the hit.
So it's by a different artist.
Same artist.
Huh.
I'll play the song for you and give you the full background details in about 30 minutes.
All right.
It floored me.
I'll admit I'm flummoxed.
Yeah. I'll play the song for you, too. Let's do the grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. US 41, North Naples. Make those reservations. It's still 50%. Prime rib, oh, local seafood, it's the Pewter Mug.
The Pewter Mug is like, if you've never been, you need to, because what it will become is the place that you take someone that's visiting from out of town when you want to impress them.
Yep. This is making the rounds, you got to hear this. Spirit Airlines.
Oh, no. I don't know if I can sit through this, Stan.
Had a...
You know, there's a certain pitch we've discovered when it comes to women, but there's another pitch that I can't take, and this is it.
Have you ever heard of those, and you've seen them, the gator masks? They're the ones that you wear like a turtleneck?
Yeah, you pull them up.
And you pull them up?
You don't put them around your ear. You pull them up from your neck.
Yes. Well, a passenger on Spirit Airlines had one of those masks.
Very nice one.
Yeah. Had the United States flag on it. But apparently the Spirit Airlines flight attendant, some say on social media, it was because it was the American flag, went to the passenger and told him, he's wearing an inappropriate mask for the airline.
And even though this appears to be a male, it's very close to that same frequency I can't stand.
There you go. Here's the flight attendant going up to the...
Going up against Captain America.
Yep. Here you go.
I'm wearing a mask.
Now.
Yeah.
What do you have underneath it?
What?
What do you have underneath this?
I'm wearing a mask. Legal by who?
Legal by who? What's wrong with my mask?
I'm literally
to the CDC.
Really?
Really.
Show me those rules.
Show me those rules. I don't have to show you the rules.
Well, I don't have to wear the mask that you gave me. I'm wearing the mask that I have.
Well, then...
I've been on 20 flights, okay?
Well...
I've literally been on 20 flights with this same exact mask.
I don't...
All right, well, I'm done talking.
Well, so am I.
Okay.
And we'll have the authorities waiting for you. When we land.
Okay, sounds good.
God, I wish that was high school and not an airplane. Guy wouldn't dare talk to the guy with the American flag. You know this, Dan.
I know.
And now that he has a little bit of power as a flight attendant on a budget airline,
now I can finally push him around for a change.
God, the self-control on that guy.
Yeah.
Because I'll guarantee you.
Cool. Even though he was in the right.
You would have come out of your seat at that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Man, or whatever
then
pronouns.
Then I would have been tossed off the plane. This guy kept his cool, kept his
but,
mask.
I mean, you want to talk about provoked.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
To the highest possible degree.
Junior, you need to post this video. The video is great. Every guy can identify.
It's not going to get us deplatformed or
no.
anything, is it?
I don't think so. Here's your husband of the year. He's filming his wife trying on new outfits. And she's asking, oh, what do you think? He disapproves of every outfit his wife has purchased. She goes, you know, she goes to the bathroom, puts the new kit, comes out, models it. What do you think? He doesn't like any of them.
Fair. What do you think?
No. It just looks like big pants. Looks like you have a robe that you just put pants with. I mean, it looks like karate class.
Kind of a black belt?
Yeah, it's a black belt.
All right.
My God. It's like you're out of Beetlejuice.
You look like a clown.
I don't know. You look like you work at an upscale sushi restaurant.
Why do women do that to us?
She was a good sport about it, though, too, because some of the clothes she picked out.
No, but
was
why?
Like,
why?
My God.
Why do they do that? Because when they were dating us and trying to attract us, they would never let us be around them picking out clothes. Once they got us, then all of a sudden, what are we supposed to be, their girlfriend?
Do these pants make me look fat?
Yes.
This is all over the news. And I guess it's a big deal.
There are a lot of things that aren't on the news that are a big deal, Stan.
Yeah. The, I guess it's called the IG or Ig Nobel Prize Awards.
The Ig Nobel Prize. Yeah, it's been around for years.
They were just handed out. Those are the awards that are given to the most ridiculous advances in science. This year's included a study on whether knives made out of frozen human poop would be effective as weapons, and one on how helium affects an alligator's voice. One of the authors of the alligator study inhaled some helium and then explained how the study worked. What the? Here you go.
Our subject was a Chinese alligator. We recorded her inhaling normal air and heliox, a helium-oxygen mixture. And here we go. Here's one call in air and one call in heliox. They sound different, and this is evidence that also non-avian reptiles have resonances in their vocalizations.
Good, I'll give you a Nobel Prize for it. This is our victim of the week. She's not a victim. This is our misfortune of the week. I don't. You be the judge. There's video to go along with this. A woman in Oklahoma got pulled over for not wearing her seatbelt. And it turned out she didn't have a license. In fact, the only ID she had was her medical marijuana card. And she tried to get out of getting a ticket by telling the cop she had to poop. Then she went and told the cop it was her birthday. She ended up trying to drive off, but the cops chased her, and while they were arresting her, she asked if she could go to the bathroom in the back of their squad car. Listen to this real beauty.
Your license is suspended.
Why?
I don't know. And now I'm waiting to see if you have warrants through Woods County.
I
and
poop so bad.
Where do you think I was
birthday,
going?
Man, please just let me go.
Because I know your license is suspended.
I'm sorry, I didn't know it was. I won't drive no more. But can I please go home and go poop?
You have warrants through Woods County, and they're coming to get you.
No, they're not.
Ma'am.
Get out of the vehicle now!
Get out of poop in your car, man.
Life really is a sitcom, isn't it?
It is. Capable of anything. Capable of anything.
And I don't know how long that went on to for. I'm guessing a while by the tone of that cop's voice that he was on every last nerve.
Yep.
I don't know why your license is suspended. I don't know why they have a warrant for you from the next county over. I'm sorry you got a poop, but I didn't do this to you.
It's
you did.
It's my birthday.
Yep. Good Lord.
This comes out of Boca Raton, and it's another great piece of work. We're talking the elementary school level. Distance learning. Kids at home on their computers.
I think that one teacher you played should teach everybody.
Yeah, well, this is a different type of teacher. She's needed to talk to the parents. So the kids are distant learning. It's tough enough. They're opening up their laptops. They're trying to listen to the teacher. They're trying to learn. Elementary school, not middle, not high school. These are little kids. An elementary school teacher in Boca Raton named Edith Pride spoke at a school board meeting last week, and she asked parents to stop being idiots during their kids' online classes.
Okay, that's inappropriate.
Not what she said. She said she and the other teachers have seen in the background nudity, drugs, and all sorts of nonsense going on. Here she is at the school board meeting talking about the parents and, you know, we see what's going on behind your kids who are trying to learn.
Parents, please make sure that you have on proper clothing when you're walking in front or behind the child's computer. Because we done seen them in their drawers, the bra, and everything else. Remember, all children are on the computers and can hear your conversations. So please try to use proper language. No cussing, because if I say just no profanity, they may not know what profanity is. So no cussing, they know what that is. Number four, when you're helping your children at the computer, please do not appear with big joints in your hands and cigarette. Parents, please understand that your child is in class, and the parents should not stay in the picture and make silly faces behind the child.
Be a better world if she was running things.
Janet, these are the parents.
Well, they need straightening out.
Yes!
You know, it works both ways, though. If the teachers are teaching the right thing, then everything works.
Yeah.
When they start teaching the wrong things and being forced to do so by the government,
yeah,
things go bad.
Right.
Then you have riots.
Yep. Thank you, Haney.
It can take up to 40 years,
yep,
but that's the end result.
To manifest.
Yep.
I am going to run only one clip, just one, from the Emmys.
Oh, no, please.
Oh, no. Haney, don't worry. There's not going to be a single thing objectionable. You see, back in 1986, David Letterman hosted the Emmys. Only in 86. He was a special guest on the Emmys, you know, doing it remotely. Here's David Letterman from last night in the 2020 Emmy Awards as he reads some leftover jokes he found from the 86 Emmys.
Hi, I'm Dave Letterman. This tuxedo, the last time I wore it was in 1986 when I hosted the Emmys. Here's what I found in the pocket. These are jokes from the 1986 Emmys. I'm going to read them. They're going to be a lot of fun. 1986, what a great-looking crowd. So many stars, so much cocaine. Is this the Emmys or the Mets locker room? Neil Diamond is nominated tonight. Neil, where'd you go for that spray tan? Chernobyl? 1986. Oliver North and Angela Lansbury have a new show this fall on CBS. It's called Trading Arms for Hostages, she wrote. Telling you, quality comedy is timeless.
It really is. You see, we found all that funny, Junior.
Yeah, back in the day, we thought that that was hilarious stuff.
I thought it was funny, too.
Really?
You understood the references?
I mean, not really. It's just David Letterman. I just laugh.
Oh, just because it's him.
Yeah.
Once somebody wins you over, they don't have to be funny anymore.
Yeah, I just laugh at everything.
Yeah, they automatically get a pass. They're funny in my book, no matter what they say.
You know, I don't see him busting a gut laughing at us, and
no,
he knows
never.
Us.
Hardly ever.
I mean, time to time.
Mm. But anything Letterman says is funny.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Whatever.
We're paying you, you know.
Yeah, I know.
That's pretty funny, huh?
You know, you're supposed to be a cheerleader for us.
Right, yeah.
I got you.
Way to go, champ.
Yeah. I love this. You know, the networks are, and stadiums, the ones that don't have fans. You know, some stadiums let, you know, 15,000 fans in, 10,000 fans. Others don't, like Philadelphia. So they're still trying to work on the piped-in fake crowd noise. Well, you got to hand it to the Philadelphia Eagles.
They may have lost the game, but they nearly ruined the career of three superstars.
That's true. The Philadelphia Eagles, at home, their piped-in crowd noise still includes the team being booed. Take a listen to the piped-in noise at home.
That's an art.
Yes.
Too tall for Zach Ertz. And now fourth down, bring the punt team back on for the Eagles. John Johnson out there in the coverage. Wentz down 21-3 in this game. Wentz off play action looking for the end zone, and it's intercepted! Darius Williams with a diving pick in front of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
They hide in the booze.
Well, if you think about that, that's an art form. If you've been running sound or doing public address for a team for any length of time, and you have the tools at your disposal, you know how fans would respond and
booze.
At what level. Yep.
Yes. Grab Bag's been brought to you by the Pewter Mug North.
But, you know, the boo is misunderstood. It's not one thing. There are different sound levels, different levels of enthusiasm.
Yes, that right there, what you heard was disgust.
Yep. It can be used as sarcasm. In the hands of a master, it can paint quite an image.
When we come back, a hit song from an old friend
okay.
of ours.
Okay, you're driving me nuts with this because I have no idea what you're talking
you've
about.
Probably never heard. Also, we'll have the local beat. And you know how there's the do not evict going on right now because of the COVID?
I think that applies to everybody except people I know.
Well, I'll tell you how there are landlords evicting. The do not evict is based monetarily. Landlords can still kick you out if there are other problems with you and the way you treat your apartment or unit.
So they can't do it because you can't pay your rent, but they can still do it if they don't like something going on.
Gotta go through a few hoops, but they can still do it, and we'll tip you off so you know ahead of time that they can't use that angle on you. We'll have the details. Stan and Haney, 96K-Rock.
Garrett, Hawaii 5-0.
Batman.
Kojak.
Frank Cannon.
Jim Rockford.
Stan here.
This is 86, calling control.
I'm Mark Haney.
John Robinson commanding.
Are you finished?
Stan and Haney, 96K-Rock.
Hey, gang, Stan and Haney here. Monday afternoon, we're going to have the local beat for you here in just a few minutes, about 30 minutes away. We're going to give you a chance to win new game in the beta version. Don't forget the lyrics. Stans, don't forget the lyrics. And then later on today, we're going to take a trip in the Wayback Machine. We'll tell you where we're going this very week in a particular year.
Well, pretty much anywhere other than here would be an improvement.
Yes. I told you about this song that everybody knows, but nobody's heard this version. And it was the
hit. And it's somebody we know.
Yeah. And it was the hit. Let me explain to you, and I'm going to read, leaving the artist out until we play this. But I did my research on it because I was listening to a replay of Casey Kasem's American Top 40 from, I think it was 1978. And, you know, all the songs. And he introduced this next one as a big hit climbing up the charts. And as soon as the song played and I heard the artist, I said, yeah, that's the song. And I wasn't thinking. I was ordering a coffee. And it caught my ear. I said, wait a second. That's not the song. What, did they have to substitute it? Was there copyright problems? What's the deal? And then it was outroed, and he goes to the next number on the song. And I'm like, what the hell was that? Here's a little explanation, and then you're going to hear the song. It was this artist's debut album and his second single from the album. So he had a big hit on the debut album. Record company says to this artist, we're going to take another one of your songs and release it as a single.
Because you've had a monster hit.
You had a monster hit. We want to see if we can get a follow-up monster hit. Okay. But they did not take it from the album. The single of this hit song, which nobody knows because it was never really played again. It is considerably different from the now more familiar version that appears on this person's debut album. A vast number of compilation albums, greatest hits albums, didn't use this version. They used the album version. The album version of this song that everybody knows is broken up into three verses and two choruses, while the single version is three verses and three choruses. The artist actually went into the studio when it was told to him that it was going to be released as a single, went in and recorded his entire lead vocal for the single version all over again, and also adding guitar riffs to the song.
After it had already been released on the album.
After it had been released on the album. Hadn't been released as the next single.
But if you bought the album, you had one version, yes. And the hit was something else.
And the hit was something else. Now, the album version, we all know. It was the song that actually became a hit that we don't hear anymore. Let's see. What else did it tell me? The lyrics to the chorus are changed slightly.
So you heard this and realized something's off.
Something's way off. Lastly, the album version has a conclusive ending featuring a snare and bass drum hit, whereas the single version, the hit, has a brief fade out featuring a sustained vocal chord on a sustained chord on organ as it just fades out. The single is about a minute shorter than the album version. And I had never heard it before. Our friend Eddie Money, his second release from his debut album, Two Tickets to Paradise. You haven't heard this version, and it was the version that was the hit. Here you go. Starts off the same. A little faster. Different song.
A lot more guitar.
Yeah.
And more guitars.
Yep.
How many guitars do you think are doing that riff with the harmony, Junior?
I want to say three.
At least three.
At least.
Yeah. Let me now I can read without hiding names and songs and all. I can read the whole thing. The 45 RPM record single mix of the song is considerably different from the now more familiar version that appears on Eddie Money's album, his debut album.
So what
Eddie
we
Money.
Just heard was when we first heard the song on the radio, that's what we heard.
That's what you heard. And then when it and fell I would've... off the charts, it was never played again.
And so only after it was no longer a hit did the album version become the familiar
became
one?
Became the standard. Correct.
That's crazy, because I don't remember that.
The album version is broken up into three verses and two choruses, while the re-recorded single version is three verses, three choruses. Money re-recorded his entire lead vocal for the single version, and guitar riffs were added
during
the Waited So Long parts. the lyrics to the chorus are slightly changed as well. And then it talks about...
Well, he does a lot of talk.
Yep. So that, I thought that... And so I'm listening to American Top 40, and I'm going, that's not the song. What are they playing? No, it was the song we first heard.
That's hard to believe. That's...
Yep.
What we became accustomed to... And then didn't notice the difference with the album version.
No. And every greatest hits and all that stuff has always used the album version. I thought that was so
wild.
Well,
it's a shame we didn't discover that while he was still with us,
yeah,
and we could have asked him.
We could have talked to him about it.
You know, briefly, there's another one. A lot of people that are fans of this person are well aware of it, but if you're a casual fan... You're not. A song, and I've heard this a couple of times, but this is the greatest example of an artist recycling his own material and taking a song that's already been released and saying, okay, let's keep a lot of it, but we'll make it a new song. Check this out.
Read about he would save parts, saying, "You know what? I like that little riff, and I'll save it."
Yeah, pretty good riff.
I'll save it for later,
but you'll know it better.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm gonna make something with that riff if it kills me.
And that's he's talked about that, where he's all right. I like that. I'm gonna put it away for later.
Yep.
But to have a record company, and it was Columbia for Eddie Money, to go and just say, we're releasing the single, go cut it again.
Well, Eddie was a new guy. He didn't have the juice of being Eddie Money then.
Right. It was his debut album.
Back then, he was former New York City police officer Edward Mahoney.
Yep. We got just enough time to do the local beat here, and this is pretty interesting.
Is there anything weird going on with the weather?
Yeah, did you see last night?
What happened?
About 8 inches of rain dropped on us in a very short period of time. And we have, not that it's going to drop temperatures, we have our first cold front slowly making its way down.
Hmm.
Yeah. Right now we're still in tropical air, and it's meeting with the cooler air coming from the north-northeast. We've talked to Chinopolis about this. We've seen the stories. You know, during COVID, landlords, they can't evict you. You know, you're not going to be thrown out in the street. Technically, that is if it's strictly monetary reasons that you don't have a job. There are ways that landlords can go around this. And this is a Stan and Haney public service as well as the local beat. This was in, I believe, the Naples Daily News. Headline, landlords allowed to evict despite bans. Dateline Lee County. Millions of Americans still out of work and the bills keep piling up. And for some, so are eviction notices. That's despite the federal and state bans. An advocacy group in Oregon reported 1,500 eviction actions have been filed in several states, including here in Florida. Landlord attorney Holly Cosby says landlords can still evict tenants during the pandemic if they violate their lease. She says, quote, if they're affected by COVID-19 through in a financial way, but they're in default in another area of the lease that is not monetary, and they don't fix that default when they've been given an opportunity to fix it, then they're evictable. Now, this is where she says it doesn't happen all at once. She adds a tenant would have time to cure that default before their lease actually is terminated and they are evicted. So say in your apartment or in your home that you're renting, there's significant damage or you're running some kind of operation out of your home. The landlord can come to you and give you notice. You must fix this, what you're doing, stop what you're doing, you're in violation of the lease, and give you the appropriate amount of time. If you do not, then he can proceed with, he or she can proceed with eviction notices. For tenants who haven't violated lease agreements, but have lost their income, Cosby says they can sign a declaration form by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to protect themselves from evictions through the end of 2020. But the New York Times reports judges in some states won't accept it. She adds, I don't know about other states. I can tell you that the CDC declaration, to my knowledge, is being accepted in Florida. According to the report, one Georgia landlord claimed the CDC doesn't have authority to protect tenants. But Cosby says they're not trying to do anything they're not authorized to do. The president has issued the restriction, says Cosby. The CDC has just to assist in the process. She added her number one advice to her clients. If the tenant is doing the best they can, they're paying you what they can, be patient and work with your tenant. Don't evict. If the tenants violate their agreement, their lease agreement, Cosby says landlords typically give them 7 days to correct whatever's going wrong in that dwelling before they can start the eviction process. So the whole can't evict is only monetary, where you're abiding by every bit of the lease. You just can't pay because you're out of work. You're screwing up something in there. You're pulling up the carpets. You got a dog that crapped all over the place and you're not shampooing them. They can still evict you. We're going to take a break. We're going to play Stan's Don't Forget the Lyrics next on 96K Rock.
A lot of people ask, how did Stan and Haney get this gig? It's actually an interesting story. You see, they were hanging out in a Home Depot parking lot, all liquored up before sunrise, when Brad Beasley drove up, yelled something at them in Spanish, showed them a $10 bill, and told them to get into his truck pronto. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Works every time. Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney, thank you so much for joining us Monday afternoon. And you are about 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails, 1 hour away from a trip into the Wayback Machine.
That Eddie Money thing was weird.
Yeah.
Because that's what we heard, but we don't remember hearing it.
Yes. It threw me. It completely threw me when I was in the car listening to it. I said, what the heck version is this?
That's what made us like that song.
Yep.
And then the whole song changed, but we didn't notice.
Nope. That was to our ears, the song that we all wanted to go out and buy.
But the song that we know is the one from the album.
Correct. And not that one. Wee.
You can't trust yourself.
Now, I was talking to Rick Peterson, who's our production guy and knows music pretty damn well. He's been in the business a long, long, long time. And he said, well, yeah, you can understand, because they did it all the time, the top 40 stations would shorten a song.
They'd take out a verse, or they'd take out the extended lead guitar to make it like I was the same show, the Casey Kasem show that I was listening to yesterday when I heard the Eddie Money stuff. Number 40 on the charts that week, this week in 1978, was Meat Loaf's Paradise by the Dashboard Light. And I said,
that's problematic.
I said, was there a single version of it? Sure was. A 4-minute version. And there's no Phil Rizzuto.
That makes the song.
4 minutes.
Mm-mm.
Paradise by the Dashboard Lights. I mean, and it was number 40. And Casey introduced it and played it. And it was over in 4 minutes and no Phil Rizzuto.
I remember a buddy of mine who shall remain nameless. And he and I had worked together at different radio stations on and off over the years. And he thought it was his big break that he was hired to do afternoon drive. And I forget if it was like Alabama or something, but it was a pretty, it was a bigger market than we were at the time. And I talked to him after he'd been there a couple of months, and he was miserable. Oh, I remember what it was. He got to do afternoon drive and be program director. But that was like when consultants were taking over.
Yeah.
And he's like, I cannot tell you. I can't wait to get out of here. I thought this was going to be my dream job. When you hear those jingles that say, more music per hour, more hits than any other radio station. Yeah. Well, how do they do that?
It's easy.
He said, they have got us playing records that are pitched up to the point it sounds like the Chipmunks.
Yeah. Always. Old radio, you always pitched it up.
And this was in the 80s. And he goes, you know, we've got a limited library. And we have to fit in a certain number of songs per hour. But then I have to back time to make sure that I'm right on the top of the hour. And he goes, if I get to the top of the hour and I haven't fit in enough songs and I'm one short, he goes, God bless Bruce Springsteen for putting out I'm on Fire. That song played normally is 2 minutes and 18 seconds.
Pitched up.
Pitched up, you know, maybe 45 seconds.
Yep. It also was on there. It was a hit at the time in 78. The Who's Who Are You?
Oh, yeah. Can't play the album version.
The single version was Who the Hell Are You?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, boy, I like the album version.
Who
better.
Doesn't? This is a beta version of this game. And it stands.
Which means no one can sue you over this game,
correct.
Right?
Correct. It stands. Don't forget the lyrics.
Hasn't been debugged.
Not yet. No, there's a lot of bugs in it.
This is
if it works.
This is some sloppy code.
We're going to see if it works. Yes. It's a beta version. Up for grabs, we have the gray trucker-style embroidered K-Rock hats. We have $50 to the pewter mug. We have $50 to John Michael's Diamond and Jewelry Studio in Cape Coral. Use that $50 towards earrings, necklaces, and rings, and more.
Use it wisely.
And use it wisely. And we have haircuts at Twin Cuts, 4 locations throughout Southwest Florida. Men's cuts, women's cuts, beard trims, kids' cuts, hair coloring, and more. Those are the prizes. We're going to do it by playing a clip. I'll tell you the name of the song and the artist of the song. But there's a word taken out of it. Tell me the word that's removed, and you're going to win. First person to do it. We've got a few different ones to try out. I will have phones on lockdown right now until we play the first clip. We were talking about Eddie Money earlier today, so here's a Eddie Money clip. Tell me the word that was taken out. Tell me the word that was taken out, and you'll be the winner. 277-9600. This is, I've set it up purposely very easy just to see how it works. Tell me the word that's missing. What was missing there? What word was missing? That was a hit.
Did you really do that?
Yeah, this was a hit TV show, by the way. Here it is again. I'll release the phones. What word is missing from the lyrics?
Remember the first time that I heard that song and Ronnie Spector came in? Yeah. I was so blown away.
Yeah. We had her on the show. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Mike.
Mike, what word's missing from there?
Light.
You are correct. It is light. What would you like?
A pewter mug.
You got it, buddy. Hold on. There it is, light.
You also cut off a little of the...
We're looking for light.
That's what we're looking for. Yep. Beta version.
Beta folks. Version. All right, here we go. Number two. By the way, we're done with the pewter mug. We got Gray Trekker K-Rocks hats. We got John Michaels Diamond and Jewelry Studio. We have Twin Cuts. What word's missing from this lyric? What was missing there? What? 277-9600.
Stan?
Yes.
Because this is a beta version?
Yeah.
I'm afraid I need to do a disclaimer.
What?
And what are you calling this?
Don't Stan's Don't Forget the Lyrics.
This is a beta version of Stan's Don't Forget the Lyrics. In the process of being tested before its official release. This being so, Stan does not give any warranties, whether express or implied, yes, as the suitability or usability, yeah, of this game or any of its content.
Yeah.
Stan will not be liable for any loss, whether such loss is direct, indirect, special, or consequential, suffered by any party as a result of participating in this game show. Should you encounter any bugs, glitches, lack of functionality, or other problems, please contact Stan and Haney at stanandhaney.com.
Thank you. Here it is again. What goes there? 277-9600. You were a long time on the phone with that last winner, by the way.
He has a really weird last name.
All right, that explains
how many it. How many characters?
Yeah.
I don't know, 10.
Wow. All right.
Is it M with a ski?
It's like I don't even know how to pronounce it.
Thank you.
Try.
It's like Polish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stan probably knows.
How do I don't know.
Well, you got a weird last name.
Yeah. 10 nope. characters.
Nawalawawa?
Yeah.
Well, back in the 70s, it was Nawalniak.
Ahoy, who's this?
Robert.
Robert, what word is missing from that lyrics?
That is women.
You are absolutely correct. Women. What would you like?
Do you have a Bernie's Diner?
No, I don't.
Where is that?
Where is that? I've
it's
got
a two. I don't. Down from.
Yeah. No, I don't. I've got a K-Rock gray embroidered trucker hat. I've got $50 to John Michael's diamond jewelry and diamond studio. And I've got Twin Cuts haircuts.
Sir, I love the hat.
You got it. Hold on. All right. This is how the game's played. The word missing from the lyric. Let's try it again. What word's missing here? Oh, that was the one to show you that it worked. Here we go.
Your participation in the beta process is completely voluntary.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales. And for someone else, but not for me. Our love was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
What's missing? What is missing? What word is missing from that lyric? One more time.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales. And for someone else, but not for me. Our love was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm
a believer.
Do you
know that one? Do you know that one? Let's see if somebody does. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy. Bye. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Russ.
What's your first name?
Russell.
Russell. What's the missing word?
I think it's disappointment.
It is disappointment. You are absolutely correct. What would you like?
I'd like a trucker's hat.
You'd like a...
The gray trucker's cap?
You got it. Yep. Hold on.
Off.
Our love was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
All right, we got one more. And this one is actually two words. It's two words, but they kind of go together. Tell me the missing word in this lyrics and win a prize. It's actually two words, but they kind of go together. What's missing?
Kisses, girl, leaves behind a tragic world. But he won't mind. He's in love and he says love is fine.
Tricky.
Yeah. Now that's Paul McCartney and Wings, and listen to what the man said. There's a word missing. Actually, it's two words, but they go together. Here it is one more time for you. What is the missing two words?
Kisses, girl, leaves behind a tragic world. But he won't mind. He's in love and he says love is fine.
277-9600. It's Paul McCartney and Wings. Listen to what the man said. There's two words that have been removed. What are they? Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, it's George.
Am I on a speakerphone?
I am. Sorry, hold on.
That's all right. Come on. Let's just get on
there. There you go.
Be much better. What's your name?
Joel.
Joel, what's missing there?
City boy.
What?
City boy.
City boy?
Yeah.
I don't think that's though. No, that's not it. That's not it.
That's what she said.
Yep. Not a city boy. A different kind of boy. But not a city boy.
He could be a city boy, but that's not how he's being identified here.
Correct. Who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen. It's Rick.
Rick, what's missing there?
Soldier boy.
That's right. Soldier boy kisses girl, leaves behind a tragic world. But he don't mind. He's in love.
He says love is kind.
That's right. What would you like?
I would love a trucker's cap.
Done.
Do 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 do.
Soldier boy kisses girl, leaves behind a tragic world. But he won't mind. He's in love and he says love is fine.
Soldier boy.
Do 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 do.
All right, see, that was, how do you think, beta version, is it possible we could do this again, or do I scrap the game?
I can't say definitively. I'd say give it another chance and see if it grows.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get your first look at traffic, news headlines with Mark Haney. Yes?
I think we need to do this now, Stan.
4 o'clock fluffer. Yes?
Yes. We are the people you hear on the radio. Now,
yeah.
It's been a rough summer, and we've been accused of a lot of bad things and a lot of hurt feelings amongst employees here. Well, excuse us for wanting to give you the best show and be perfectionists.
Yeah.
And so, Junior, I'm sorry.
It's okay, man. You're doing your best.
We're the same people that you hear on the radio, but we're a lot of other things, too.
Yeah. You got his money?
When's the next election?
What's the matter, Sam? Why all the gloom?
Oh, I just got a load of bad news. Things haven't been going so good lately. Rotten programs and very bad announcements. The big boss was here, and he gave me a month to put this station on paying basis. Or we're through.
Your worries are over. You're looking at the best radio announcer that ever pushed a verb through a microphone.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Yeah.
Hey, you betcha.
Don't you mess with Stan's truth.
Yeah, that's my truth. Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney.
I wish we had that when we were growing up.
We didn't.
We didn't have my truth.
Nope. I just learned about that within the last few years.
No. Nope. There used to just be the truth, and the truth was usually that you effed up on some level.
Correct.
It was never in your favor.
No. And you took the blame and you learned from it. Now, nobody in a certain age group says, I'm wrong.
Oh, no.
Right, Junior?
I'm never wrong.
See?
Stan, what's this I hear about some nonsense of you jumping off the parking garage at the Hartford Civic Center?
Yeah, well, it happened. It's my truth. Let's get you updated.
Isn't it amazing? You are still that person that thought it was a good idea to jump off a parking garage.
But that person had a bottle and a half of Riuniti in him.
On ice?
That's nice. It's nice. I believe it was a Riuniti Lambrusco.
Oh.
Along with...
Classy.
I had it back in those days, I had one of these little handheld marble pipes with the little screen in there. So,
You're the same person.
Yeah.
But if you met up with that version of Stan... You would rip him a new one.
Sure would. I'd call him a punk ass.
What do you think you're doing?
What's your problem, idiot? Let's get you updated.
Where do you think that's going to get you?
Nowhere. Tell you, when I landed there, the Riuniti killed a lot of the pain, but I still felt it up my spine.
and you still do.
And I still do.
But you shook it off and rocked with Van Halen.
Damn right I did. Rock on. Till they walked off stage because
somebody in the crowd was throwing pennies at David Lee Roth.
And he doesn't like it.
He warned him, do it again, we leave. Somebody did it again. Remember how when we were in school, you'd be able to snap those pennies
and
go off like a bullet?
Remember when you used to sharpen a pencil so good you could make it stick in the ceiling?
Yep, or in somebody's hand where I still have the mark. Nothing on the board right now. I don't know if somebody's taking the day off or it's all clear. But I don't have anything to report on this half hour. We'll check again in about another 30 minutes. Coming up in less than 1 hour, the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. What's coming up? Well, Haney's about to tell you. He's got today's headlines.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Okay.
NFL. Fan, no fan update.
Okay. Some had fans, some didn't.
I think Junior's generation may be the first to grow up with no expectation of privacy whatsoever.
Yep. It's the world with social media and Big Brother and...
Well, Big Brother, obviously, you got to worry about, but Little Brother's there, too. There is a new app where you can hire anonymous strangers to work as your own personal spies.
Wow.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. Find that app.
You know, weddings. The people throwing weddings don't really think about what they're really asking of people when they ask them to attend.
Oh, it's an incredible obligation.
We'll tell you about one wedding RSVP card that's getting quite a bit of attention because it lets you know up front how you should expect to be treated based on the price of your gift.
Oh, come on! That's his generation, too.
And finally, you may have heard it on the grab bag, but boy, what a beauty. A woman leads police on a high-speed chase. Why?
Why?
Well, it's her birthday, and she really had to go.
Yep.
Bad.
Yep, number two.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Can we at least, for a little while, have some laughter?
Sex machine, get up off of that thing. I feel good. Yeah.
Stan, I've got to tell you.
Yes?
I have a vote of no confidence in today's jokes.
Okay, a vote of no confidence.
So, if it's all right with you, I'd like to just, for the time that it would take to do the jokes, simply go to alternate programming that may provide a laugh.
Okay.
So pop that down.
All right, hold on.
Ooh, we're gonna have fun.
Yeah.
What was the category anyway?
Very weak.
It's a cozy table, isn't it?
And champagne, my dear.
He does not know who he is.
Delicious.
Very famous.
You like it?
I like him.
delicious.
This is weak.
I like it too. Yes, I do like it.
Delicious.
Yes, it is. You want some more?
Delicious.
I knew you'd like it. You always.
Delicious.
Oh, have some more. Get the waiter and hombre. You like it? I'll put on the paper hat. Oh, get out the lamp. I even like the cork.
She's got a little phlegmy laugh there.
Waiter, waiter, bar. Oh, keep pouring. Oh, this is every night, New Year's Eve. You got it. Every night we're going to do this. I don't care. Lose the job every day.
Good evening.
What are you going to do? Oh, it's coming to do.
You know who that was, Junior?
Was that Ray Steven?
No.
No?
That was, well, he was known as Mr. Magoo, and he was also known as Thurston Howell III. Jim Backus.
I lose the job, whatever.
Roadhog.
Some more.
You like? Let's do some email. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay, okay.
This from, it's from Meg Haney.
How is she?
She's doing well, I guess. Ahoy, Stan and Haney. I was online a while back, and I came across a side-by-side comparison picture that made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I'm not sure if the Simpsons character Montgomery Burns is based off the billionaire Jacob Rothschild. Haney, if you can shed some light on this, I'd love to know more. The more I hear and read about Jacob, the more I'm creeped out. You guys are the best, signed Meg.
Well, you should be, Meg, and the answer is quite probably.
Okay, this guy, Mr. Not Necessarily here. Dom feels a need to comment. Ahoy, guys. I just wanted to clear up something before you get deplatformed by Stan this time, giving out misinformation. I was listening to Friday's show today. There are two ladies playing a game. I started to think that Stan might be having a stroke on the air. First, he couldn't get Deciduous out. Then, he gives a prize away on a wrong answer. Before you go any further, they both won, and they both got a prize. Here we go. I'm not an astronomer. The Earth's orbit isn't round. It is elliptical. So the Earth is closer and further away from the sun during different times of the year. I've included a photo for reference.
What? I tuned it out a while ago.
Absolutely. I just go with what the answer was on the piece of paper, pal. Love the show. Dom in Naples. There you go, Haney.
Yep.
Yep. Almost identical. You're right, Meg. Over the weekend, after watching
the Dolphins play, Jeffrey sent us two emails of disgust. Ahoy, gentlemen. What a hangover again. Dolphins are now 0-2. Fitzpatrick can't thread sewing thread through the eye of a needle. Oh, well, better luck next year. Best thing we could do is just lose this whole season and draft some damn linemen. And defense sucks as well. Boo! That was followed by a couple of minutes later another email by Jeffrey, who then says, Ahoy, Haney, I have a suggestion for the Dolphins. They should hire Tony D'Amico as head coach. Maybe that clam chowder would do some good in Miami. And hire Joffrey as the damn leader of the cheerleading squad, since that stoop seems to like and know a few cheers of his own. And Junior can be the water boy. Give our squad some high-quality H2O. Laugh my ass off. Have a good day, brothers.
Yeah, it's not Ryan Fitzpatrick that I'm worried about. And last week against Buffalo, they just ran him over, which, of course, they did approximately 2 or 3 weeks after Miami traded its best run-stuffing linebacker away for a bag of chips. But this week, I thought, you know, it'll be better because Buffalo, they'll want to throw the ball. And by God, we've got the two best corners in football and their backup or the nickel guy is a first-round draft pick. So finally, we'll see the strength of that defense, that secondary.
Sorry, Henny.
Sorry. It's not what they paid for.
No. But it never is when they come to Miami. They're either superstars, come to Miami and fade out, or they're a bust in Miami and go elsewhere and become superstars.
Well, I don't know if it was the first play of the game, but it was pretty close when Byron Jones, who they got from the Cowboys and made him the top-paid corner in the league, he had what they call a non-contact injury.
Yeah.
Like when you're watching a horse race and the horse just stops for no reason.
Yeah.
It was like that. Like he popped a hammy or something with nobody around him.
No, that you control that in the weight room. When we come back, we're going to take a trip in the Wayback Machine. We'll tell you where we're going. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, before we do this, you have to promise me that you can be showered and out of here by 6.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney, we'll check traffic here in just a second and then jump into the Wayback Machine. But I turn to Mark Haney.
Stan, you know, we all have our concerns, and rightly so, about the government always infringing on our rights.
Yeah.
And that's legitimate. But our rights as Americans are one thing. When you work for a corporation these days, they own you.
Okay.
This just came out of New York. The world's largest money manager has introduced a new policy forcing its 16,000 employees to disclose, quote, personal relationships with all company clients in what is being described as the toughest policy ever on office romances. BlackRock, the New York-based firm.
Oh, very familiar with them.
Which manages $7.4 trillion in assets, introduced the new rules last week. This is in addition to existing strict policies which forced the disclosure of relationships with other staff members.
Fishing off the company dock.
Well, it's 16,000 people.
Yep.
So,
and you know there's got to be at least 100 that are fishing off the dock.
So that was already outlawed. Given that BlackRock, on behalf of the funds that it runs, is one of the five largest shareholders in nearly every corporation in the S&P 500, the impact of the new policy is expected to be significant. Employees are required to disclose all personal relationships with other BlackRock employees or contingent workers, as well as personal relationships with employees of a service provider, vendor, or other third party, including a client, if the non-BlackRock employee is within a group that interacts with BlackRock. Given their reach, I wonder how much of the dating pool that cuts off for you.
Yep.
Remember, every company in the S&P 500 yep. has some sort of relationship with BlackRock. And, of course, a senior BlackRock executive said, this is all designed to help employees. Listen to this corporate talk. It takes the assessment of what is or is not a conflict out of the employee's hands and puts it into the hands of HR and lawyers, which makes it eminently enforceable. It's all for your benefit, employees.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Love is blind. And people are going to go and fall in love with and fish off docks and water ski and all of that stuff. No matter what,
and it's going to cost them their career.
Yep, if they want to enforce it, there's no way to enforce it.
Well, considering one guy who was rumored to be next in line to be CEO was already married to a BlackRock employee,
well,
and then started banging his secretary.
He's cream of the crop. We're not talking about somebody down in the mailroom like a junior.
Oh, so cream of the crop would get enforced, but junior wouldn't.
Yeah, they would. He'd keep it down the down low. Till one of his coworkers wanted to go and narc on him.
Well, I wouldn't worry about them narking on him. I'd worried about him. Never mind.
Just one thing on the board. It is a crash. 12,000 block of Metro Parkway right by the FedEx store. And you are up to date. We do this every Monday.
Whether you need it or not.
Yep. What was on the Billboard charts this very week in a particular year? We're going to go right smack dab in the middle, start at number 20 and work our way up to 20 or 16. Let's find out where we're going. Right in the middle of American Top 40.
Hello out there. Peabody and Sherman here. The Wayback Machine, my incomparable invention for traveling through time, has been set for the year.
This week in 1977, one of my favorite years.
We'll start out with the category Famous Spouses.
Yes.
Not so long ago. Now let's live it up again with Stan and Haney. Number 20.
Your love.
Ah, there we go. There we go.
Is lifting me higher.
Rita Coolidge.
Than I've ever been lifted.
A beautiful voice.
Beautiful voice of an angel. And who was she married to at this time? Somebody very famous.
Your love is lifting me higher.
That's the Stan and Haney difference.
Who was Rita Coolidge married to in
1977?
One of the all-time greatest songwriters.
Mm-hmm. Also, her spouse, one of the greatest songwriters. Also a Hollywood actor.
Yes, he was. Some friends, too.
Notable.
Some of his closest friends were Johnny Cash,
Well, he was friends with everybody.
Willie Nelson. Waylon Jennings. Just a few notables. You found a picture, Junior. Who is that? Who was her husband in 1977?
That is Kris Kristofferson.
Correct.
And what do we know him from?
From Google.
Wow.
See, if you use DuckDuckGo, you'd know who he was.
Yeah. The privilege to see him and Merle Haggard perform a few years back. Face the world magic.
Well, like Mount Rushmore on stage.
It's true. It's lifting me
higher than I've ever been. Your love higher.
So keep it up. Your love.
Lifting me, your love, higher.
That's Rita Coolidge, number 20, this week in 1977.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
It was great by Jackie Wilson, and it's great by Rita Coolidge.
And here's another great song.
One
way to describe a woman. The Commodores at number 19.
That's right. They put out songs besides ballads.
Yep.
Get it, Stan. That's the Stan and Haney difference.
She's mighty, mighty. Just letting it all hang out.
She's a friend.
Owls.
I like Lady Stack.
That's a fact. Ain't holding nothing back.
Ow, she's a friend. Owls. Well, put together.
Everybody knows. This is how the story goes.
She knows she's got
everything.
What are those measurements
that a woman needs to get a man?
What are they?
36, 24,
36,
36,
24, 36, a what a winning hand.
She's a friend.
House.
She's mighty, mighty, just letting it all hang out. She's a friend. House.
You hear that rhythm section, Junior? That's tight.
Very tight.
Ain't holding nothing back.
Make a old man wish for younger days. Yeah, yeah.
She knows she built
and knows how to please.
So enough can knock a strong man to his knees. Cause she's a friend.
House.
Yeah, she's mighty, mighty.
Just letting it all hang out. Shake it down, shake it down now. Shake it down now. Shake it down now. Shake it down, shake it down. Shake it down, shake it down now.
Shake it down, 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 shake it
Can a computer do that, Junior?
Absolutely not.
Everything works perfectly.
Yep. That was a great song. You know, when Elvis Presley died in 1977, he had a hit song going up the charts. He was actually charting when he died in August of 1977. By this time, it was at number 18. The King.
Yeah.
Hey, you get closer. The lights are going.
That's the Stan and Haney difference.
All of my resistance lying on the floor, taking me to places I've never been before. Ooh, and I can feel.
Way down.
Ooh, my head is spinning.
You all right now, Junior, with that?
You got me in your spell.
From the album Moody Blue.
Swirling carousel.
You thought Moody Blue came out like 74.
No. Came out in 77. He might have recorded Moody Blue earlier. But I don't think he recorded Moody Blue in 76, but it all came out on that album.
Ooh, but I can feel it.
Feel it.
Came in blue vinyl, if you were lucky enough.
Way on down.
That's deep. coming in at number 17, likable guy, BJ Thomas.
Had some hits.
Yep. And this one's a cover of the Beach Boys that did well for him as well. Don't worry, baby. BJ Thomas.
Inside of me for, oh, I don't know how long. I don't
That's
know why, but I keep
the Stan and Haney difference.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
She looks in my eyes and makes me realize what she says.
Don't worry, baby. The Beach Boy.
Hi.
Ooh.
Each morning I awake and find the sunlight softly shining in the
bed.
Ah. I'm home and thinking that she really doesn't care. There's magic.
The Beach Boy. Ooh.
Thomas. Coming in at number 16, a woman who called Southwest Florida home for the last years of her life and had tons of hits.
I wish we knew she lived here and could have been her friend.
Yeah, Donna Summer. I Feel Love. This is about as disco as it gets.
Well, this was America's introduction to techno with Giorgio Moroder. Oh, now you're the Beach Boy?
No, I was trying to at least come close to a note of Donna Summer, but can't be done.
No, you're going to lose that.
Oh, big time.
Das ist es, dann und eine Difference.
Differenzen.
Das und dann und eine Differenzen. Dann und eine
Differenzen.
My second favorite song to Edelweiss. Kommen zu mein Zimmer, Liebling.
See, we had techno in very small doses.
Yeah, not enough to, and then you had to do it with an established star.
Mm-hmm.
So you could cut her some slack.
I'm sure you and Donna Summer would have a lot in common, but hitting those notes is not one of those things.
Incidentally, the number one song in the land this week in 1977. Emotions, Best of My Love.
One of the greatest songs ever done.
Yeah. Mark Haney and the News is next for Stan and Haney. Jeez, that once that gets into your head, you can't shake that out, you.
Stan und Haney.
Different foods. You walk with a stutter in your step with that. After that, we'll be back.
96 K-Rock.
Car accident? Dial pound 529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
K-Rock.
What a spot for a vacation. And this family's brought everything they need for a perfect one, including
Stan and Haney
in genuine top grain cowhide, which costs less than a tenth of a cent an hour to operate.
96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah. You've been working at the same place for 27 years.
I sure have, yeah. But, you know, not a lot of tribute paid.
No, very little tribute paid to you for 27 years.
Of course.
RBG, on the other hand.
Yeah. Oh, my. Can you imagine that?
And that's and with all due respect to a Supreme Court justice, that's how the young people referred to her as. Because they loved her. RBG.
Yeah. Part-time job she was catered to. No big deal.
That's, but seriously, that's in our constitution, in our government, our branches of government. You get to that level, you're appointed. You're there for life.
It's
your call.
Here's where I truly respect Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I don't agree with her on her politics at all.
Neither did I.
But where I have respect for her. is she spent the last probably quarter of her life dealing with different cancers.
Yeah, battled a long time.
It's been at least 20 years she's been battling some kind of cancer. And towards the end of the Obama administration, the Libs started going, okay, Ginsburg, you've had a good run. It's time to retire because we're worried you're going to die and there'll be a Republican in office. And she's like, I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, and they can't do anything about it.
But as much as she's being celebrated now, they won't say it publicly, but there are a bunch of them that are really pissed off because she said,
oh, yeah.
Look, I'm doing this till I die, and I'm not going to die for you.
Yeah. And the thing with her, and they were talking about this over the weekend, politics and friendship are two different things.
Well, they used to be.
Well, they still are. They were for her. Because she, and they made a point, she was very close, and they would do practical jokes on each other with Clarence Thomas and Scalia. They're all buddy. They all palled around.
Yeah, you remember that time when she put a pubic hair on his law clerk?
No, that was Clarence. Look, wrong case. And I do remember this.
What, when her and Judge Bork would go around toilet papering houses?
Bork. She, when all the crap that Kavanaugh went through, and she was one of the ones saying, you know, he shouldn't be nominated. But once he got onto the court, she gave him some shade. She went and said, you know what? I've worked with the guy. He's got an all-female staff who work their butts off. He's okay. Don't agree with it.
Well, that's politics. Not shade. Shade is a negative thing.
Shade?
Yeah.
I thought cover him, protect him. What would be protecting him? What would that be?
Like when you're throwing shade.
Yeah
that's
bad?
Not a good thing. Yeah, it's kind of like a passive aggressive.
Is that like C-blocking?
That's kind of like being passive aggressive.
No, she wasn't that way. Gave him, what would be the right term? That
respect.
Well, respect. She's got to, yeah. Well, there was all, they all had respect. They were just showing pictures of her when she got when Clinton nominated her and she got on the court. And I was pausing on the DVR to look at the entire court back then and who's there and who's not there anymore. But she gave him his respect of coming on and was impressed with him. Didn't agree with him, but respected him. And that's usually, you're there for life. That's... Look, we're all in this together.
One of the things that they were talking about is that it is such an exclusive club.
It is.
That they actually do socialize more than you would think.
Yes.
Because nobody else can understand
together.
What they go through.
Yes.
And I mean, you want to talk about responsibility.
It's...
The weight of the world.
The weight of the world. It is one of the most important, if not one of the most important jobs in the world. You're deciding that you're the final word. Trump and Congress can go and do all their crazy stuff. They're the final word.
And you're in a position where literally, even though it might not be apparent right away, when you sit on that court, you know, you have your personal beliefs, you have your legal theories and all that, but you are in such a position of power that your decision could literally save or destroy the country.
Yep.
And like I say, it might not be apparent right away, but that's what you have to carry with you every time you go to work.
Correct.
Like I said, part-time job. Yeah, she was catered to.
Yeah, catered. They live a good life.
Let's put it this way. If I was sitting here as RBG,
yeah,
and I'm half asleep, yeah, going, oh, man, bring me 12 Big Macs.
They'd be there. How do you like the new maps, by the way, with the new flags?
I can't see anything.
That's the way it's designed to be.
I can't see anything.
Did you take a picture?
I did.
Once we start traffic in the news, show Haney a picture at the right angle, and it's very impressive.
He's going to show me a picture of the map that I'm looking at, yep. And I'll be able to tell there's a stick pin on it.
You sure will. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive.
I just see shadows.
Yeah, I know. All right, we've got a few things going on here. Let's start in a North Fort Myers crash. Well, actually, a hit and run. 500 block, of Pine Island Road, right by the Walmart Supercenter. Lehigh Acres. Crash. Gunnery Road South and 23rd Street Southwest. And one more for you. It's in Estero. A crash. Corkscrew Commons Drive. How can you have two roads that are named the same? There's a crash at Corkscrew Commons Drive, and you are up to date. Mark Haney and the news.
I can see it better in the picture.
Yes.
I'm not sure. He might have to do it over.
Maybe. Mark Haney and the news.
You should have seen his face.
Jason and Todd at the Diamond District starts.
Oh, he did not like that idea.
Right now.
That would be open revolt.
A time before cable. When the local anchorman reigned supreme. When people believed everything they heard. This was an age when only men were allowed to read the news. One anchor man was more man than the rest.
Southwest Florida's most respected anchor man.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words,
Mark Haney
was the balls.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Monday, September 21st.
Double M, double X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you didn't know. Stan, over the course of your entire lifetime, have you ever dated a Jessica?
I don't believe so.
Have you ever known a Jessica?
Yes, I have.
Many of them?
A few.
Interesting to find out where names come from. Mine come exclusively from the Holy Bible.
Right. Yours is a biblical name, Mark.
Mm-hmm. Well, the name Jessica, I didn't know this, but turns out Shakespeare invented the name Jessica in The Merchant of Venice. I guess prior to then, it wasn't really a name.
All right.
And Shakespeare said, you know what, that sounds nice.
It does. It has a nice sound to it. Jessica's a nice name.
Here's a bit of history that I find quite interesting. Because long before you and I learned to cuss, we learned from cartoons that a string of random symbols, that represented cussing.
Yeah, like a exclamation point, hashtag,
yep.
Star, mm-hmm. A bunch of things, all that put together.
Yep.
And it's, you know, somebody cussing.
And even to this day, I think if you use that, people mm-hmm. will understand what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
Who came up with that?
I would think some early broadcaster, newspaper guy.
Yes. It was Mort Walker, the guy who created Beetle Bailey.
Oh, I always loved that because Sarge had that one tooth.
Yep.
Yeah.
He came up with the idea for using random symbols like exclamation points and hashtags to represent swear words in cartoons. So it was his creation, but now it's become its own thing.
Sure.
And they actually have an official term for that.
What?
Grawlix.
Got that right.
G-R-A-W-L-I-X. Grawlix.
Sarge had that one tooth and that funny hat on. Always a beetle always getting him mad.
You know, there's a certain personality on CNN who gets very upset when you call him Humpty Dumpty. You know who I'm talking about.
Which one's that?
What's his name? Brian Seltzer?
I don't think that's his name.
Close enough.
Okay.
But he's got a nickname, Humpty Dumpty.
Okay. Sat on a wall.
Mm-hmm. And he was actually asked about that nickname.
Yeah.
And he thinks it's because he's got an egghead.
Okay.
But in the Humpty Dumpty nursery rhyme,
yeah,
there's never any mention of him being an egg.
No.
It's just like everybody agreed that he was an egg and it took off.
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall.
Yeah, there you go. There's Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah. Well, that's a little exaggerated, but I can see
it. I think it's an exact image.
An exact image, really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that picture is a really good example.
There you go!
Bring in the pepper!
Zingaroo!
He feels good about that. Yep. He feels real good about that.
Should. Feeling extra excited.
Waving the cap to the crowd.
Oh, yeah. All of his exuberance.
Yep. It's his youthful excitement.
Exactly.
Okay, now it's getting a bit extreme. It's all right. Enjoy it. It's extenuating circumstances. Time now for COVID sports. Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles were consistently booed yesterday.
Yes, they were.
Even though they were playing at home.
Yep.
Now, Eagles fans are known for being emotional, so that's hardly surprising, except for the fact that there was nobody there. No fans allowed.
Nope. It was somebody in the booth hitting the button.
The boos could be heard consistently during the game. Once during a failed third down, and again after Wentz threw an interception in the end zone. For some sporting events, the TV broadcast adds what they call ambient crowd noise. But some are saying it's possible that Fox was responsible, but in this case, it seems like the stadium was responsible. Yep.
Oh, real quick, because we're coming up on a hard break, but somebody texted this, Haney. My question is this. RBG had 27 years. Mark Haney has 27 years. Could she beat you, Haney, at Are You Smarter Than Haney?
No.
I don't think so either, and neither does he. He said, I think you'd get her.
No, because for 27 years she wasn't allowed to read a newspaper.
Yeah. Stay neutral.
In other COVID-19 stadium hijinks, the Cleveland Browns allowed 6,000 lucky fans to watch the Browns play the Bengals last Thursday. But Browns fans don't seem to have gotten the memo on social distancing practices.
Mm-hmm.
By brawling in the stands.
Very aggressive.
Okay, that's pushing. Yeah. 6,000 allowed in, yep. And they managed to brawl.
Yep.
Now, at a Boston Red Sox game yesterday, there weren't supposed to be any fans, but one guy showed up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He threw a temper tantrum and began tossing things on the field.
Mm-mm-mm.
That's to express his displeasure.
Yeah.
To express his displeasure.
Oh, okay. Sure.
The man had a mask around his neck, but never wore it. He was positioned above the green monster, where he entertained himself by doing a series of push-ups at one point.
Right on.
They eventually talked the guy down.
Doing a little exercising.
Indeed. In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, just about an hour ago, I was telling you how we're all keeping an eye on the government, hoping that we can prevent them from taking our rights.
Yeah.
So that's Big Brother. You got to watch out for Little Brother.
Right.
And that would include...
His little half-pint pal.
And that would include, you know, like Facebook trying to deplatform us for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Spying.
Yep.
And it's like a snowball rolling downhill, you know, in a cartoon, not real life, because in a cartoon it'll get bigger and bigger and bigger. There is a new app out called Mole.
Mm.
And the people that created this must have been thinking, you know what? We need a way to make the world even creepier. Mole allows you to hire anonymous strangers to work as your personal spies.
Wow.
It's very simple. You go on Mole and post that you want to see live video of a certain location at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
Then some schmuck on Mole who's near that location can get paid a few bucks to live stream whatever you want to you. They suggest you could use it for checking your house when you're away.
Simple
by
enough.
Having a stranger here film your empty
film
house.
It. Yeah. Yeah, that ain't baiting it.
It's so convenient. You could use it to see how long the line is outside of a restaurant. Or maybe you just like to stare at the Eiffel Tower live right now.
Yeah.
Can't think of any way people might use that app to do horrible, horrible things. I can't think of any at all.
Just thinking of staring at the Eiffel Tower. Beautiful. Exquisite.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Wonder what that bastard Stan is up to. Let's take a look.
Yeah.
Look at that son of a...
Yeah, hire some old senile over at my place. He could use the few bucks.
Now, come on. Show a little respect. He was Vice President of the United States. You ever notice that? He can't say United States.
What's he say?
Vice President of the United States. President of the United States.
Yeah.
United States. Weddings.
Ah, yeah.
They're not pleasant for the people involved in them. They're not pleasant for the people invited to them.
I would agree to that. It's only pleasant for one person, and that's the bride.
Mm-hmm. There is a wedding RSVP card that's gone viral now. The couple is offering people different tiers of treatment based on how much they're planning to spend on a gift.
Wow.
They're letting you know this up front.
Right. Something nice, a little better accommodations at the wedding.
I don't know. It looks to me like a PBS pledge drive.
Those get on your nerves, don't they?
Now, they're not unreasonable. They realize that not everyone has a lot of money at this time.
Right.
So, any gift at all,
right,
valued up to $250,
yeah,
congratulations. You have your choice of chicken or chicken. $251 to $500, congratulations. You can upgrade to sliced steak or poached salmon. At the $501 to $1,000 level.
Come on, that is an expense I cannot handle.
Zingaroo! $501 to $1,000. Now we're being reasonable. Filet mignon or lobster tails?
This is based on the gift they give, a wedding gift.
Yes. Now, at the platinum gift level, which is $1,001 to $2,500 or question mark, at that point, you'll receive a 2-pound lobster.
Whoa!
Souvenir champagne goblet, and you've opened up a whole new world. Now, you're entitled to the vegetarian or kosher options. They aren't offered at any of the lower levels.
No.
So, up to $250, that's called a loving gift. Then, yes, up to $500, a silver gift. Up to $1,000, a golden gift. And then you've reached platinum.
Platinum level.
As you might imagine, people are crucifying the couple on social media.
Absolutely. Who do they think they are?
And that's the news for today, Monday, September 21st.
Double M, double X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is. Little Mikey Haney telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news this afternoon.
You know what? I get a wedding card like that.
Yeah.
That just gives me a valid excuse not to go.
Yeah. Up to the loving. See, that's more intimate. The loving gift.
Mm-hmm. That shows you love them.
Right.
Up to $250.
You buy them a $250 wedding gift, and it's still at the loving level.
Of roast chicken.
Of chicken.
Now, if you can spend one more dollar, well, then you're in the silver section.
Right, and what do I get for the silver?
You're allowed to have the above choice of chicken or chicken.
Yeah.
But then you can choose from sliced steak and poached salmon. Once you get above 501, then it's filet and lobster tails, or lobster tails, I'm sorry. And then at the platinum level, 2-pound lobster plus souvenir champagne goblet.
Souvenir champagne goblet.
That you'll treasure forever because it's somebody else's wedding.
Yeah, and they'll have their name on it.
And at the level of $1,001 or above,
yeah,
not only can you get the 2-pound lobster
souvenir glass.
Yes. Or at that point, special vegetarian and kosher menus are available.
Right.
They're not available until you get to the platinum level. So if you require kosher or vegetarian, you're out of luck. Mm. Unless, you know, somebody's going to get their beak wet here.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, 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 Junior.
Are there any exemptions?
Viciously fracking Southwest Florida airwaves for decades. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you so much for spending your afternoon with us. Greatly appreciated. Al Beck coming up at 6 o'clock to take you through your Monday night. Let's just check and see if we have anything on the board. You know what? I'm going to actually physically myself go over to the traffic window. See if there's anything. Nope. All clear. At least to what I'm being told. You're on the road. You know. You've seen it. But we're all good. Let's laugh a little bit, shall we?
Time now for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy the way it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
When you're in your 60s, people ask you to do something, you just say no. No reason, no excuse, no explanation. I can't wait for my 70s. I don't even think I'll answer. I like this time. It's relaxing. I don't want to grow. I don't want to change. I don't want to improve at anything. I don't want to expand my interests, meet anyone, or learn anything I don't already know. I don't lie in restaurants anymore. How is everything? I don't like it here. A lot of people around my age like to make a bucket list. I made a bucket list, then I turned the B to an F, and I was done with that, too. I just want you to have that option. You can either check off all your items or change one letter at the top. You're in a lazy boy watching a ball game.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this.
This comes out of Boca Raton. And it's another great piece of work.
We're talking the elementary school level. Distance learning. Kids at home on their computers.
I think that one teacher you played should teach everybody.
Yeah. Well, this is a different type of teacher. She's needed to talk to the parents. So the kids are distant learning. It's tough enough. They're opening up their laptops. They're trying to listen to the teacher. They're trying to learn. Elementary school, not middle, not high school. These are little kids. An elementary school teacher in Boca Raton named Edith Pry spoke at a school board meeting last week, and she asked parents to stop being idiots during their kids' online classes.
Okay, that's inappropriate.
Not what she said. She said she and the other teachers have seen in the background nudity, drugs, and all sorts of nonsense going on. Here she is at the school board meeting talking about the parents and, you know, we see what's going on behind your kids who are trying to learn.
Parents, please make sure that you have on proper clothing when you're walking in front or behind the child's computer. Because we done seen them in their drawers, the bra, and everything else. Remember, all children are on the computers and can hear your conversations. So please try to use proper language. No cussing, because if I say just no profanity, they may not know what profanity is. So no cussing, they know what that is. Number four, when you're helping your children at the computer, please do not appear with big joints in your hands and cigarette. Parents, please understand that your child is in class, and the parents should not stay in the picture and make silly face behind the child.
Be a better world if she was running things.
Janet, these are the parents.
Well, they need straightening out.
Yes!
You know, it works both ways, though. If the teachers are teaching the right thing, then everything works.
Yeah.
When they start teaching the wrong things and being forced to do so by the government,
yeah,
things go bad.
Right.
Then you have riots.
Yep. Thank you, Haney.
We're gonna have fun.
Yes.
What was the category anyway?
Very weak.
It's a cozy table, isn't it?
And champagne, my dear.
He does not know who he is.
Delicious.
Very famous.
You like it?
I like it.
Delicious.
This is weak.
I like it too. Yes, I do like it.
Delicious.
Yes, it is. You want some more?
Delicious.
I knew you'd like it. You always.
Delicious.
Oh, have some more. Get the waiter and hombre.
You like?
I'll put on the paper hat. Oh, get out the lamp. I even like the cork.
Just got a little phlegmy laugh.
Waiter, waiter, more. Oh, keep pouring. Oh, this is every night, New Year's Eve. Every night we're gonna do this. I don't care. Lose the job, everything.
Good evening.
What are you gonna do? Oh, it's gonna do.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.